Bro, hear me out. Episode double digits. We hit double digits, baby. Episode number 10. It only took us about, I think it took us 15 or 16 weeks. So we're like 66% conversion rate. But hey, double digits is something that I think our first episode, I can go back and listen. But I think I said we should do 8 episodes in a row and then reevaluate. I feel like we've just been kind of cranking. I mean, we missed last week, but we're pretty consistent.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing pretty good. I mean, to all of our haters, suck it. We made
Yeah.
the 10
Nobody thought
episodes.
we could make it to 10
No one
episodes.
saw this happening, not even us, maybe. Yeah, I feel like we've hit a good stride with like last week we couldn't do it because you had a busy weekend, but yeah, it's just been like super chill to. Like basically every weekend we try to do it, but doesn't work out. Like last weekend just didn't work out because Chuck was busy, and yeah, it's like no sweat. And then this weekend we're both available, so we're cranking. Which,
Yeah.
to be honest, I didn't think we would. Which maybe we can hop into that first thing because you were supposed to be busy this weekend, so I don't know if
I
you want
was,
to hop into that.
yeah, I was supposed to be busy. Although I didn't rule it out of the question, I was supposed to be in New York racing, I don't know the official jargon of it, like United Airlines New York City half marathon or whatever. And I think I would have had time to do it yesterday just because the race was this morning. And so it would have been, I don't know, it would have worked out potentially to be in some coffee shop in New York City. But yeah, bro, let me tell you how fucked my Thursday to Friday was. So basically, I think I said this on one of our previous episode or just to you, but basically the New York Roadrunners who put on the race gave me like a specific allotment of money to use for travel. And so my travel plan was to fly out of Flagstaff, which is more expensive, fly out of Flagstaff to New York City, and then from New York City to Phoenix, and then basically drive back from Phoenix to Flagstaff. But it was going to be a lot easier for like getting there to fly out of Flagstaff instead of the opposite way. So I was supposed to fly out of Flagstaff Friday morning. The race is Sunday morning on the East Coast. And so Thursday, let's see, probably like 10 a.m. I went out where we went for a run with some of our friends here, and it started to get like really windy and kind of like it was supposed to snow a lot on Wednesday night, and it snowed like an inch. So it was like one of those nights that was supposed to be like 6 inches of snow and it snowed an inch. So I was like, oh, I'm good. I was all worried about my flight, but I'm gonna be good. And then it started to snow during the run on Thursday at like 11. And I was like, oh shit, if it snows all day, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out. But then it stopped. And so I was just working. And then I had a haircut at like 4 p.m. or something. And so I'm sitting in my barber chair. And then all of a sudden it starts absolutely bombing snow. And I'm just in the middle of this haircut. And I still have a double to do. And I'm just like, fuck, I don't know what to do. And I'm talking to my barber and I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to be flying out of Flag tomorrow. What do you think I should do? He's like, you should just like drive to Phoenix right now, and you shouldn't even risk flying out of Flag. You should just drive to Phoenix. And so I'm just sitting in this chair getting my haircut, and finally I get out, and the roads were like really fucked because it was that kind of snow where it kind of rained all day, and then it got really cold, and so
Oh, like
people just
ice.
got yeah got icy, and there were just no plows really out, and so people were getting really stuck. And so I drove home as fast as I could, and this was like in a matter of 30 minutes. So on the my drive home, my agent or texted me. He's like, "You need to get out of Flagstaff now. Like, if you want to make the race, you got to get out, bro. Like, I don't know what you should do, but blah, blah, blah." And so I was like so stressed out for 30 minutes. So I come and I'm like totally guns blazing, rip into the house. I run upstairs. Elise is doing like some schoolwork, or her taxes. She's doing her taxes, and I
Yo, I
leap
gotta
upstairs,
leave.
and I was like, "We have to leave right now," because she's gonna drive me down because we have one car here. I was like, "We have to leave right now." I hadn't packed anything, bro. Like, I had a load of laundry, and she's like, "Okay, like pack your stuff and like put your money where your mouth is, and let's go." And so like, okay, and so I'm start packing, and then I get in Flagstaff. They shut down the roads, and so like coming in and out
What?
of Flagstaff, if it gets really bad, they don't let you drive out. And so as I'm packing, I get like an Amber
Dude,
Alert on my
that's a
phone.
sus mountain town move. What the fuck? I've never heard of
Dude,
that.
it's
That is
crazy.
bullshit. That's soft fucking shit. They should go to Gunnison and try to pull that
It's
off.
fucked, bro. It's fucked. And so yeah, I'm like throwing all my shit in the bag to race. And then I get this notification that this road, like not the main road, but one of the roads shut down. So I was like, man, if we're driving and then the road gets shut down and we're just like an hour outside of both Flagstaff and Phoenix and we're just fucked. I was like, I'm just gonna wait it out. Like I finally, or yeah, at least convinced me. She's like, you should just wait it out. Like your flight's not till noon tomorrow. I mean, it's like a mountain town, so it's you're not like the only one who would get really affected by it. And then my agent calls me. And he's like, to be honest, you are in Flagstaff, and it's not the first time they've seen snow, so I think you'll be fine. They know how to like clear out snow, especially the runway of an
How much did
airport.
it snow?
It was probably like 6 inches. But it was like kind of overnight, and so I don't know how they prioritize the plows, but whatever. And so they're like, okay, I'm just gonna wait it out. My flight's at like 10 a.m. I'm gonna be fine, whatever. And then I woke up the next morning, and my agent was already in New York, and he was texting me. He's like, "Look, your flight's good. You should just hop on a plane. Like you're good. Everything's fine." And I was supposed to get to New York at like 8:30 p.m. And so I was like, "Okay, that's cool." And so I went to the gym
And you
here,
get
and I
there
was
8 p.m. Friday night.
Friday night. And so then I went to the gym in Flagstaff, and I'm 2 miles into my treadmill run because I had to get it done before like 8 a.m. And then I get the notification that my flight got delayed until 2 p.m. and I was going to miss my connection in Phoenix. And so then they rebooked me to get on a plane basically to arrive into New York City at 11 p.m. and then an hour drive to the hotel, which is like not bad because it's Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time, so I'm on Pacific time right now. So it's like 9 p.m. It would have been 9 p.m. my time, so it would have been probably easier to sleep at that point. And then so I was like, okay, whatever, that's fine. And then I rebooked. I did like same day change, and so I rebooked an earlier flight out of Flagstaff so I could have time in Phoenix Airport to get lunch and dinner and just be able to eat it on the plane. And so this is a fucking long story, bro.
No, keep it rolling.
And so then I call my Uber and then I get to the airport and everything's good. And I'm like, oh, I'm so stoked to get on this earlier plane. I'll have like a 2 hour layover in Phoenix, but that's perfect because I'll grab some lunch and grab some dinner at like Chipotle just to eat on a plane because I'm going to get to New York at midnight. And so I'm sitting waiting to board and then we board the plane. And then we're sitting on it's this plane was supposed to pick up at 11:45. It's 12 p.m. And so we're just still sitting on the runway and we haven't pushed back from the gate yet. And I was like, oh, this is weird, but like whatever. I made a good decision. I'm on the plane at least. Like whatever happens next is fine. And so we're sitting there, then it's like 12:20 and we haven't pushed back yet. And I was like, and it's like one of those really small, like Bombardier airplanes, like I don't know, 30 people were on the plane. And so it's just like no one knows what's going on. And then the pilot comes over the intercom and he's like, yeah, we have to wait. There's a private, like someone's private plane, like a Cessna basically was about to take off and then they decided not to and they hit the brakes super hard and they like toppled over. Like they did a nosedive just on the fucking runway. And it's a one runway airport, bro. So we had to wait for the fire department to come out to like make sure everything was fine, and then they had to like drive out all the forklifts and shit to make sure this plane could go back on its wheels and then get wheeled back. And so we're just fucking waiting and waiting, and then so that took an hour, and then we pushed back from the gate, and I was like, okay, thank goodness. Like I'm only gonna have an hour in Phoenix, but that's fine. So like all I need to do is grab like two bowls from Chipotle, and I'm good. And so we pushed back from the gate, and we like start to pull out towards the runway, and then the pilot's like, oh, psych, like we got to de-ice the plane. Like, we were sitting there too long, we got to de-ice the plane. I was like, fuck me, bro, like that's fine, whatever. And so we're sitting there, and the plane's getting de-iced, and then we finally start to move out towards the runway in what seemed like super slow motion. So at this point, we're on this plane for an hour and a half, and it's a 20-minute plane ride from Flagstaff to Phoenix, and we're on this plane for an hour and a half, and then we get out there. Sitting on the runway, it's like chilling, and we're chilling, and we're not waiting for any planes because it's one plane at a time, and then we start going like as if we're gonna take off, but we're going like 10 miles an hour, and I was like, "Fuck, we're not gonna take off." We go all the way back to the airport, and then we're just sitting like 100 yards away from the airport, and we're just chilling there, and so we're just waiting, waiting, and people are starting to get really impatient, and The pilot comes on. He's like, "Yeah, so like the de-icer on the left wing isn't working. We can't take off. Like we have to have maintenance come check it." And it's like, "Fuck, bro, this is crazy." But it's because it's such a small airport, we have to wait for another plane to come out. There's two gates. We have to wait for one plane to come out to go back to get maintenance to check on us.
Yeah, isn't that
So,
Flagstaff, right?
yeah, Flagstaff still. And so, yeah, I'm sitting on the runway. This was 2.5 hours after I was supposed to be taken off, and I texted the lease and I was like, "Would you believe me if I was still, if I said I'm still in Flagstaff sitting on the plane?" And she's like, "What the fuck? Like, what is going on?" And so, basically, long story short, we the plane that I was supposed to be on that got originally delayed was the plane that we were waiting on to come out. So I watched the plane I was supposed to be on just take off totally fine, and I was like, "Fuck. I am so fucked right now." And then so at this point I'm like, totally gonna miss my layover or my connection. And I'm like, I don't know what to do now. Like I start texting my agent, I'm texting Elise, I'm just like trying to figure out what to do. And the best option would be to drive to Phoenix like then and then take a 7:30 a.m. flight on Saturday, the day before the race, and then get to New York City at like 5 p.m. because of the time change, and then drive an hour to the hotel. So get to the hotel like 6 p.m. And I was just like, fuck, man, I don't know if that's smart. So like get to New York City 12 hours before I'm gonna wake up for my race. And so then I was like texting my agent, and then we're still sitting on this plane. So we're on the plane for 3 hours, and then they're like, "Yeah, we have to deboard everyone and we're gonna like figure this out. We have to have maintenance come on here, blah, blah, blah." And so at that point, I was like, I don't know when this thing's taking off, and it's not worth driving to Phoenix for like a for this race, because I don't think at this point I can talk myself off the ledge or like I can still race well. And so I was like, I told my agent, I was like, "Sorry, man, I like it's just not a good decision. This is too much because I've been sitting on this plane for 3 hours. And now if I drive to Phoenix for 2 hours, if the roads are even open, and then like try to fly 5 more hours tomorrow morning, it's just not a good look." And so he's like, "Yeah, it's fine," which is super clutch. Shout out John, he was super clutch for it. But and so the worst part, bro, this is the part that like pissed me off the most and the biggest part of the whole day. Because it was like one of those smaller planes, I had like your standard Nike carry-on suitcase that you can carry on to like a commercial plane, but for this plane they had to gate check
Oh,
it,
you
which
had
is
to
fine.
check it.
Yeah, but they gate checked it. So I didn't like actually check it. There's no tag on it. And so I get back into the airport, and of course people are like losing their shit because they're like people are very stressed in general. And so people are like yelling at the gate attendants and shit. And I was like, all I want to do is just I'm just gonna cancel everything. I just need my fucking bag so I can go home. Like I just that's all I needed. And so I tried to cancel my flight on the app, like cancel the whole itinerary, and it wouldn't let me do it because it basically said I already boarded the plane, which I did. And so I had to wait to finally talk to the gate agent, which took like 3 hours because the line was so long, because like he was still boarding people on other planes, and it was just a fucking madhouse, and like people were yelling at him and like crying, and dude, it was a
Oh,
shit
God.
house. And so I got to the front of the line, and I was like, "Look, man, like I just want to cancel everything." He's like, "No, like you'll make it. We'll rebook you." And I was like, "I was supposed to be at a race, like." I just want to can't just cancel everything. I just want my money back. Just like it's well, it's gonna go back to the agency. Just cancel everything. He's like, "No, we'll rebook you. You can get there." And I was like, "You don't understand. The thing I'm supposed to be at, I'm gonna miss." And so I just cancel everything. I want to go home. He's like, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "But I gate checked my bag. Can I just like get my bag back?" And he's like, "No, well, that's a problem because we'll check it and it'll fly to your final destination." And I was like, "So I don't have a final destination because I'm canceling my trip." And I didn't check my bag. It doesn't have like a, it's not getting scanned. There isn't a final destination. You guys gate checked it. And he's like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "You gate checked my bag. There's no final destination. You guys told me I was going to pick it up on the jet bridge in Phoenix. It doesn't have a final destination. And it's just a black Nike bag. There's no, it's not going to New York or anywhere." He's like, "No, you don't understand me. Like wherever you're supposed to go, and this looks like it's JFK, your bag is going to have to go there." And I was like, "There's no way it's gonna get there. There's no like I didn't pay for anything. There's nothing that says it's gonna go to JFK at all. It's just a red ticket that says gate check on it. It's like it's gonna go to Phoenix and just like sit there and fall into the abyss." And so I was like, "Bro, please just let me like just give me my bag. I just want to fucking go home." And he's like, "Oh, you gate checked it." And I was like, "Yes, like it doesn't have a final destination. It's just gonna just sit on the runway or at the jet bridge at Phoenix. So if that's what it is, just tell me and I'll go home. Like, I'm not going to New York. If I can't get my bag, just tell me and I'll go to Walmart and like pick up all my stuff. But like, obviously, all my personal shit is in there and like my Alpha Flies and like a decent amount of shit is in there. And I was like, just tell me if I can't get this. He's like, no, you'll be able to get it. And then so I was like, okay. And so I had to wait 4 more hours because you couldn't access the gate check or
Oh
like the
my
bags
God.
because these people kept the engines on, and so it's like a risk to go and get the bags. And so yeah, I
Yeah.
got to the Flagstaff Airport at 9 a.m. or at 10:30 a.m. or whatever, and then they finally got that plane to take off at 6:30 p.m. But I got my bag, shit you not, at 6 p.m. off from a gate check, and so I was just chilling in the Flagstaff Airport this literally for 8 hours. And so yeah, I did long, super long story short. I did not go to, I'm not in New York right now. I did not race this morning, but I mean, that's just a lesson. Sometimes you can't control some stuff. And there's definitely a lot of people who are freaking out. And like, I don't know. I can totally understand you can freak out about a lot of stuff, but also at the end of the day, it's like you can't control the snow. You can't control like planes breaking down or whatever. It's like, it's such a waste of energy. And those poor like gate agents just like getting their get wrecked for like, people just being pissed off at them is like, well, I didn't do it. And the cool thing about that was Flagstaff was a small enough airport that it was just one dude. And he was just like being kind of a dick back to them. Like, if they're like, you need to rebook me, he's just like, I can't and I'm not going to. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. So please go sit down. And it was just like, it was really nice to see because I feel like in big airports, people are like really stressed. But yeah, so very long story. But yeah, that was my Friday. So. And here we
That
are on
sounds like
Sunday.
a that's a shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like kind of like those type of exact situations in my old job made
Yeah.
that job so stressful, because
Yeah.
it was like the same thing. It would be like all this shit that you can't control, that's like no
Right.
one's fault, but then you compound that with some, person paying 30 grand for the flight, and you're just
Yeah.
like, I paid 30 grand, and it's like you could have paid $2 billion. Nothing would
Yeah.
change. Like, it doesn't
Right.
matter. Like, I can't keep the airplane from breaking. I can't change the weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shit sucks. That's a part of, unfortunately, super shitty part about traveling. I also feel like that stuff, it's like when it rains, it pours. Like, it's never just like,
Yeah.
oh, like
Right.
one delayed flight. It's like everything. And it's also, I will say, it's like it's systemic, because once one thing, especially in like in the airlines, right? Like, they have a whole schedule and everything. Once one thing goes wrong, it fucks up the whole schedule, and then everything else, there's much higher likelihood of things going wrong because things are already off plan. So they're basically just like free balling it until things like
Right.
normalize. So then it's just, it increases your chances of just being in a fucked situation like you are. But yeah, anyways, that sucks, dude. It would have been cool to see. Obviously, I'm sure you're excited to see how you would have run.
Yeah, I think I was, yeah, that was the bummer, is like even on Thursday it was like I was pretty stressed out about it just because it was like starting to snow and stuff, and I was like, it was obvious, like I normally don't get super stressed out about a lot of stuff, I'm pretty like easygoing, but I think I was more concerned and like worried about it because I was just like super excited because I am in a really good spot in training and I've never been to downtown New York City, and I was going to see a lot of like the Bandit guys who are really cool and just like a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while. I was just like excited to have a big weekend and they're paying for everything. And so yeah, I was like, once I conceptualized that and I was just like, all right, then I'm not gonna, like I might not get to go, but I'm gonna really give it a good try. And then it's like, yeah, one thing after the other, it's like, okay, I mean, I'm not, it's just too much stress to worry about it. And it's like, if I can't go and I miss out on a race, I'd rather, like I had a really crazy workout yesterday instead, and I was like, I'd rather just do that and rather, or instead of force it, go to New York and like maybe get 8 miles in and just be like, oh, this sucks. Like I got here 12 hours ago and just be like a sad experience. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, live and learn, I guess. And yeah, hopefully, I mean, I'll be flying out of BIA for Boston, so hopefully a bigger airport, yeah, it won't happen. But yeah, it was, I mean, I, yeah, normally I mean, I've had delays in like my getting to the Olympic trials for the marathon. Like, I got delayed by 3 hours, but that one was crazy because it was just like the delay is like, okay, that's fine. Like, and that was the thing is I made the decision. I was like, okay, fuck it, I'm not gonna go. Like, whatever. It's a tough decision, but it's the right decision. But then it was just like, I have to sit in the fucking airport for 4 more hours, and it's like an airport that's like, I mean, I've never been to the Boulder airport, but like Gunny Airport was somewhere like there's no food. It was just vending machines. So I was just like tossing Gatorades and like Reese's Cups all day. And I was like, dude, I just want my fucking bag. I just want to go home, bro. It's like I'm not trying to like make all these weird connections or like worry about a hotel in Phoenix. It's like just give me my bag and I just want to fucking go home. And it was just like I couldn't get it.
I mean, dude, just every time I fly commercially, which it's not like I ever fucking fly privately, so I don't know what even why I'm
Yeah,
saying that. Every time
that's
I
crazy.
fly, it's a fucking terrible experience. Like, even if everything goes well, it's just like I fucking hate this shit. This is so awful. Yeah, I just think traveling on airplanes has just become such a fucking nightmare, just in general. But yeah, unfortunately, all that stuff, that's why the airlines and aviation companies in general just make no money. Because of shit like that, like they can make money all day long, and then all that. Yeah. Anyways, just reminds me of my old job. But yeah, that sucks, dude. But at least it wasn't like, you know, it's not like the Olympic trials or something where it's like, well, fuck, like what am I not gonna race the Olympic trials? Like, it's not like there's another opportunity to do it, right? And it's not like it was Boston either. So it's obviously it's not ideal, but at the same time, it's not like you're a race, so it's not the end of the world. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's the same thing with like, I think I've talked to you about this because my mom works for United, so I've flown standby my whole life. And it was like any type of risk, especially when you're flying standby, you don't know if you're going to make flights. Any type of risk that you can like mitigate is like worth taking because like something can always go wrong. It's the same thing. Like when you have like small connecting flights on these like regional airliners that, you know, like the, yeah, there's just all these sorts of different little things that go wrong. But anyways, dude, that sucks. I was excited. I was really curious to see. I mean, I was stoked for you to, and I was really curious to see how fast you're gonna run. So, oh
So
well.
goes.
Always another race. So I guess just really quick, since we're on the topic of like you're trying to make it to New York City, what did you think of like the results and everyone that you knew that race there?
It was interesting. My personal goal, I was, well, you always want to get paid. I think they paid out top 10. I thought it was going to be deeper. I thought the start list was going to be deeper than it ended up being. So I'm maybe I just like misread the start list or something, but it looked good. I mean, it looked like I could have ran pretty quick. Most of the guys that I know did run pretty quick. But yeah, pretty, I would say pretty expected. There was more of a fall off than I thought. Like I thought it would be, say, top 10 would be all under 62 minutes, and top 10 was like 62:45 or 63 minutes. So yeah, I mean it was a little more spread out, which was interesting to see, but I think it makes sense because the US half champs were like 2 weeks ago, and so that would have been a pretty quick turnaround. And but yeah, I mean it was, yeah, I think that was more like the US half champs were more of a everyone's ripping, and then obviously Connor ran really well today, but today seemed more like a everyone who's running Boston ran this, and it was like people are in the middle of stuff and running well, but it's not like an A race or whatever. So yeah, I thought it was interesting that it wasn't, I didn't know it was not a record eligible course because technically Connor broke the American record. But yeah. I mean the weather looked shitty all weekend, so I'm not sad I missed that because I was like, I also don't want to like go out there. Not that it would have happened, but like go out there and have to run a half marathon and like they're pouring rain and then just like try to come off of that. But yeah, it was maybe a little slower towards the mid pack than I thought it would be, but yeah, I mean, looking, there's another road race.
Yeah, I'm. Do you know the specifics on why that course is not record eligible?
My guess, I don't know the specifics, but my guess is like it's you that's the first time they've ever ran it on that course. Like, or it's supposed to be a much hillier course than it was today, but there's some construction in like Brooklyn or something. So rather than going through that construction, they had them run over the Brooklyn Bridge, which made it a much faster course. So my guess is they just haven't had it like that specific course that they ran today actually like World Athletics sanctioned or like ratified. So I think that would be why, because it's technically not an approved course because the course got changed like 5 weeks ago. Like we got an email maybe a month ago that was like, yeah, we're not going to run through this specific part of the course. So that's my guess, but I'm not positive.
I just looked it up because I was curious. Does not meet the requirements set by World Athletics or USATF. Basically, because of the point-to-point layout, the course does not start and finish in the same general area, which can result in excessive net elevation loss or wind assistant. Second possible reason is excessive net elevation loss. So it sounds like a record eligible course must not have a net downhill or of more than 1 meter per kilometer. The New York City starts in Brooklyn at a higher elevation and finishes in Manhattan at a lower elevation, making it ineligible. Okay, maybe it sounds like that's like the direct reason.
Yeah, I guess that's the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out ChatGPT, baby.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, I've just started, on a side note, I've just started using ChatGPT for everything. It's so fucking useful. Like, you
Yeah,
can
people
just,
don't
it's,
realize how useful it is.
dude, it's way, if everyone is not, I've basically taken all the things that I used to Google and I just plug that into ChatGPT and it's like a way more thorough, like, and way more
Yeah.
sensible way of like find it. You get from like what you want to know to what, like, knowing it much more, like, yeah, much more conveniently, I would say, than just like normal Google. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
and it's way easier to expand on your searches. Like if you search
Yeah.
one thing and then you come up with another question, you'd have to search it again versus this, you can just be like, okay, but like what is it like if I didn't know what kilo like meters to kilometer or whatever that yeah, meters to kilometers and elevations was like what is that conversion, then I would have answered right away versus like searching it again. Yeah, I use
Yeah.
ChatGPT for I mean I used it for school. I used it well, I mean now I just use it for pretty much everything. Like even if I'm like trying to decide something, like someone up here was trying to decide if they wanted to sell their house. And I was like, just put all your options in ChatGPT. It's not like obviously don't do whatever ChatGPT says, but it'll at least lay it out in a neat outline. That's not like you have to mentally think about, oh, I don't know if I should like go with this offer or not. I was like, just put it in a ChatGPT and like print that shit out, and then it's so much easier.
Yeah, dude, the other day I was looking up in ChatGPT what order of, because like I want to do a wrap on my M2. I want to put on different wheels and I want to put on some like different like carbon parts, like a diffuser and stuff. And I was like, what order should I do these modifications in? And it was like, well, you should do wheels first because you got to make sure the fitment's right. Then you should do all the carbon parts because you don't want to be replacing carbon parts with the normal stock parts when you have a wrap on it, and then wrap everything once everything else is done. I'm like, all right, I was gonna wrap it first. Anyways, yeah, ChatGPT is crazy. Horrible for the environment though.
Yeah, that's
uses
yeah.
like an actual fuck ton of energy. I think about
And
that all the
water.
time.
It uses so much water too.
Oh yeah, it's actually really, really bad for the environment, which I do kind of feel conflicted about, but then I doesn't stop me from making any. Anyways, yeah, hopefully they can solve that because it is obviously very useful. So
Yeah, it's super helpful.
yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I guess there was kind of a bunch of other like running stuff that happened in the last 2 weeks, kind of ish. Like NCAAs just happened this weekend. Really, the only result that I followed was Isaiah from Colorado getting fifth in the mile after being sick,
Yeah.
apparently. So shout out to him. I think that's fucking sick. And dude, the other thing I'll say too, just on that, he ran 354 and got fifth. That is
I
so
think,
insane.
and I
Huh?
think you ran 354 in the prelim too. I think you had to run
Yeah, he
354
did.
to make the final, which is like crazy.
Dude, it's like collegiate running doesn't make sense anymore. It's just an extension. It's at the top level, it's like it would be like a low level like European like meet or something. Or not even low
Yeah.
level. It would be like a really competitive one, probably.
Did you see that all those coaches sent out that big email to the NCAA last week?
No.
Yeah,
Tell me
so
about it. I'm
basically,
interested.
like SparkNotes version. I didn't get one. I mean, I don't know
Not
where
cool
that.
enough. Didn't make it in the club.
Yeah, I don't know where the line would fall off between, like, I know Mark Wetmore probably doesn't give a fuck about that anymore, but I don't know if I would get it if, like, Carlson put it on or whatever. But basically, like, a lot of coaches, like, and like good coaches, like Ed Eisen was on there, Dozier was on there. Let's see, who else can I think of? Dave Smith, the Oklahoma State coach, was on there. I'm missing a lot of coaches. I know,
Well,
like, Mike Smith was not on there, but I think Milt at UNC was. So I like just, I mean, you get it. A lot of really good coaches
a
was.
lot of
I'm
really
sure I
good
can
people. All right, yeah, what is it? Because I just
signed
don't even
off.
know what you're talking
Basically, they
about.
like it's a petition. They signed off, but basically, it's like whoever originated it said like the amount of roster spots slash scholarships available and like how it's allotted now is going to ruin the NCAA. And basically, like you're not going to have these smaller schools like an NIU or like a, I don't know, like a smaller tier school if they don't have a successful football program. And so then in that case, like it's pushing out all these smaller schools because the scholarships are coming from like the football team or whatever. And so, yeah, all these coaches basically signed on saying like roster limitations and scholarship allotments is pretty fucked because at some point you're only going to have like Power Five schools or like potentially even less than that. And then everyone's just going to go to those Power Five schools, and then the rest of the NCAA won't have anyone to run. And so it's just going to basically, once the funnel gets small enough, it's just going to eradicate like the entirety of, I don't know if they said the NCAA, but especially like track and field and cross country is just like, if the pipeline gets so small that you can only go to these specific schools, if, yeah, I mean, if it's worth it, or like if these schools can afford to bring you through NIL and stuff like and roster limitations, then at some point it's just that everything's going to dry up. And so, yeah, I
So was
mean,
it kind of a critique on like everything happening with the NIL? Because what? Because I
I think it was more focused towards like the roster limitations that
because
I
they're
think are supposed to
decreasing it,
happen.
right? It's getting
Yeah.
smaller. Yeah, but that's also related to NIL, right? Because they
I'm
don't.
pretty sure.
Yeah, I think. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was like a 5-page, Elise got it. And then Katie was here last week and she got it too. So I'm not sure like the stipulation you had to be on to like get like CC'd the message, but yeah, it seemed pretty legit. And it was like 2 pages of information, which was pretty crazy. And yeah, so I'm not exactly sure like where it went to, or like I don't know much about it. I probably should have did some more research on it before bringing it up. But yeah, I think that's pretty interesting because it was like, you would think of more like the small schools like NIU or like the University of Portland or like those schools that are good but small and don't have like a really good football team. But it was also like BYU and it was also like UNC who like Mel now has Bill Belichick as the football coach. So they won't have a problem with that. And it was also, yeah, it was like a lot of Oklahoma State, like their football team is doing well. So it was pretty a wide variety of coaches.
Okay, so I shocker, I just chat GPT'd it. So basically in 2025, 2026 academic year, the key changes for it's specifically for Division One cross country and track and field programs. For cross country, teams will be limited to 17 athletes per gender. Track and field programs will have a cap of 45 athletes per gender. Scholarship allocation, the traditional scholarship caps will be eliminated, allowing schools to offer scholarships to every athlete on their roster. All sports will now be classified as equivalency sports, permitting the distribution of partial scholarships. Implications. Program adjustments. School with larger rosters will need to reduce the number of athletes to comply with the new limits. For instance, programs like the University of Arkansas and the University of Alabama, which currently have rosters exceeding the upcoming caps, will be required to make significant cuts. Athlete opportunities. Reduction in roster spots may lead to increased competition for positions, potentially affecting walk-on opportunities and the overall number of athletes able to participate at the Division I level. Financial consideration. While the ability to offer more scholarship provides flexibility, it also imposes financial challenges, especially for programs with limited budgets. Schools may need to balance the desire to support more athletes with the realities of funding constraints. These
Yeah,
change.
so
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Yeah, I think it's really weird, right? I feel like with where things are at in NCAA sports, like for us, right? Like we both went to Western. There's no money being made at
Yeah.
Western from our running program, but like it allowed, like a good example is like for you, it like built the foundation for your career for you to get to where you are now. If you
Right.
remove those types of opportunities for kids that, yeah, maybe they're not like high school standouts. Yeah, I mean, to a certain element, I would say that you're getting rid of a fundamental part of the sport where, you know, there's this development of underdeveloped like high school athletes that have a ton of potential. And you're turning it into more of a professional level program where you're basically saying, hey, we can only basically like if our funding is going to be limited and our rosters are going to be limited, you basically can only take risks on like the best possible athletes that you can get. So basically, you're really just hurting kids. Well, you'd be hurting a kid like you, right? Like that, or me that didn't have, I mean, I know it said for Division One, but obviously, like you and me could have gone and ran at a shitty Division One school, if we wanted to. It's just, but yeah, it sounds like, you know, maybe in the future that sort of opportunity wouldn't be a, potentially not be available.
Right, which is sad because then it's like then it just really focuses on what we talk about a lot is because the NCAA is so crazy. Like if you're not running insane times and like winning nationals or like whatever in high school, it's like then you're not even gonna have a shot to run an NCAA. It's like that is so fucked. It's like
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
The NCAA, you should be able to run in the NCAA. Like there's some, I mean, yeah, you can either get really good or you can go to somewhere and like still get your school paid for if you're a decent runner. And it's like that's, I mean, that's all part of it really. It's like you get to choose your own journey. And it's like if you want to go to a shitty D1 school, but they have a lot of scholarship for you just and you like can't pay for your own school, it's a really good opportunity to just like go and run some mediocre times, but get everything paid for and then get a job.
yeah, it's kind of interesting, right? I feel like with, I mean, you could kind of dissect it into almost like a larger reflection on where things are at, kind of in society and in where everything is becoming kind of about like dollars and cents, which I think in a lot of ways makes a lot of sense, right? But you also have like, you know, schools are government subsidized in a lot of situations. So they're all, it's just, it's like, it's just everything's becoming more like business oriented and less just overall like, hey, there's a lot of elements about, you know, college that might be financially related, but hey, you can also maybe, you know, get support to be a collegiate runner and, you know, get, I mean, you might not have a scholarship, but you'd have access to all the facilities, the, you know, equipment, everything that can help you turn into a good athlete one day. So yeah, it is interesting. It's and I mean, you see that with a lot of things, right? Like there's a lot of things happening in today's world that are moving more towards that, like, hey, if it's not paying for itself, like you get rid of it, right? So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think yeah, it's kind of tricky because like part of me thinks that like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that if it's kind of not like a revenue generating thing, like who's supposed to pay for that, right? Like that's a fair argument, I think. But at the same time, I think just as people that love the sport, you don't want to see the sport just become about whoever the best kids are in college, right? Because you're just leaving so much talent that could be developed into like the next future star, you know? It's bad. It is bad for the sport, I would say. Like for the sport, it's not good for sure. So, anyways, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Do you think anything will come of it, or they just wanted to kind of like highlight it?
I feel like if that many coaches signed on it, something's gonna have to come of it, but I have no idea what they're, I mean, I should have done more research, but I don't know what the end game would be, but yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll just see what happens. It is interesting. I feel like NIL is just really changing the way college athletics is operating. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's an interesting thing just in general because I think there's definitely a good argument that, especially in like football, right? Like you have these kids that could be huge stars and these universities are making shit tons of money and it doesn't make sense for them to not get a piece of that pie. So I think that is positive, but I think it's having all of these like kind of like trickle down effects that maybe aren't positive. So
True.
yeah,
I agree.
it's a double-edged sword for sure. So anyways,
What a
cool.
saying, double-edged sword. Before I forget about it, we didn't talk about it last week, but we talked about it off air last week. For any viewers who are into running, or I guess listeners who are into running, and which is probably, I don't know, I said that 99% of people, Jakob Ingebrigtsen started a car YouTube channel. So it's like,
It's the best thing he's doing.
it's
It's the best
so
thing he's
sick.
doing. It's so fucking sick. All right, I actually do want to talk about that. It was on my list of things I wanted to talk about. Look, okay, first thing, if anyone hasn't watched it that's listening to this and you're even remotely interested in cars, go check it out. It's really fucking cool. But how much fucking money is this guy making?
It's yeah,
Because,
this garage.
dude, that garage is crazy. He has at least like $3 million of cars in that garage, which to have $100,000 in cars is like you have to have money. You know what I mean? Like, and that's also like a super villain garage. Like to be able to put like 10 cars in a garage,
For
that's
real.
like, dude, that's literally that garage is probably bigger than my entire house.
Oh, I can't imagine what it looks like on the outside. It's like, and it's cool because it does sound like they do drive like most of them, maybe not all of them, but he like drives and race, like takes them all to the track, which is cool. I know he had a Mercedes sponsorship and we talked about this last week, but I mean, even if I don't know, even if like three of those cars were given to him through the Mercedes sponsorship, is like there's still a fat amount of money in like the
No,
cars that he still has.
dude. Well, so the GT3 RS, those things are like 250 grand, like MSRP, but they're such sought after cars that they've been going for like 400 or 500 K. So like that one right there is like probably $500,000 car. I think it was the Murcielago, right? Was his like favorite car. That's $1 million car at least, depending on like what he
Crazy.
got in. Yeah, I mean, so I know he's making a shit ton of money, but like, I don't know. Yeah, Jacob, hit us up. Let us know what's up, because that's crazy. But I will say, I love the content. Did you watch the last video of him wrapping the
Yeah,
cars?
the rapping one was so
Dude,
funny.
they were just fucking arguing about
They had
wrapping.
no clue what to do.
Yeah, and they're just like arguing about it. But dude, honestly, this is, and I think I talked to you about this, and it's like one of the reasons kind of like why we started this podcast was I think that the content like that, like of course there's lots of fans of Jakob because of how good he is as a runner, but this type of stuff makes me a way bigger fan of him because it's cool. Like you're learning about something that he's like really interested in, and like all the running stuff is dope. But like this, I just think that it's such a good example of the type of content. Like if runners are thinking like, what else can I be doing to like help my career? Make content around stuff that you're genuinely interested in because it
Yeah, that
shows through
sets you
the
apart.
content. Yeah. And it builds your fan base. Like it can also create a platform, a foundation. Like, dude, straight up, if he stays consistent with that stuff, he could become like a car YouTuber down the road and that be like his full-time career in the future. Like he's got such a great base, like having all those sick cars, a crazy garage where he can like mod stuff. I mean, yeah, possibilities are endless. And there's car YouTubers out there that make, I mean, again, not that it's all about money, but like he could have a great career if, So, anyways.
It's so cool. And I want to, before you get exposed in the comments, you called him Jacob, but there is a funny story about that.
Jakob, sorry, my B. I know what his name is.
There's rumors. I heard a story from Nikki Hiltz a couple weeks ago. They said that when the Ingebrigtsens are all in town, the last time they were in town was like right before we got here, so probably in December or November. Jakob's brothers call him Jacob, and nobody knows if it's like actually supposed to be Jacob or if they're just like trying to troll Americans and just like make us think twice, like why, like. But it's also so stereotypical American and just like, oh, this guy has a fucking K in his name. It's got to be pronounced like Jakob. There's no way it's just Jacob. So it's just like, What if all along this poor man's name is actually Jacob, and just like his whole life story is
He
just
just never
Jacob, but
bothered to correct anyone.
yeah, or he like tried to correct people and then people just kept running with it, and so now he's just like, that would be cool. I mean, it's like an alternate personality. It's like if he's a runner, he's Jacob, but to his brothers and his family, he's, well, I guess he's estranged from his family, but to his brothers and his boys, he's just Jacob. That would be so funny.
Yeah, that would be funny. Or it could just be like, because all of his brothers are older than him. He's like the youngest one. They could just be fucking with him.
I know that was the thing, is like nobody knows if they're just like fucking him, like bullying him, or if it's like, is his name actually Jacob and just everyone fucks it up and
Could
he just
be.
doesn't correct anything. But yeah, Nikki was like, I was out on, or yeah, at the track, and they're saying this like, let's go Jacob, and it's just Jacob, and everyone's like, what is this man's name? Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, that is funny. I hope his name is actually pronounced Jacob, because that would be the ultimate
That would be so
like
funny.
fuck up that was just never corrected. But yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, like, anyways, I think those videos are, those types of content about people that you know about are really interesting, because you see like a whole different side of him, right? Like, he seems just like a funny, goofy kid, you know?
Well, yeah, it's cool how like every intro is the same. Like it's outside of the garage clearly, but the intro is like his name, and it says like amateur runner, and then like he doubled at European indoors, like he won double gold at European indoors. There's like 1-2 gold, or like won a medal, or 1-2 medals. Didn't say it was gold, but like 1-2 medals in wherever it was in the Netherlands last week. It was just like, but also like still an amateur runner. Like so funny.
No, I mean, dude, honestly, like, I don't even think I followed him before he started doing the car series, but I started following him. I just think that stuff is cool. I think that's the type of stuff that, yeah, I think in today's day and age, I don't know, it's just like at a certain point, right? Like, how many fucking videos can you post of you like running a sick workout
Right.
or whatever? You know, it's like, so content
Yeah.
these days, there's just so much repetition.
Yeah.
And
It's like, yeah, everyone knows Jakob is obsessed with running. Or like he like everyone knows that, but to see he's kind of obsessed with something that's not just like your stereotypical, like I feel like
he's just like a
if you're an
normal dude.
athlete,
He's like, yo, I got
yeah.
a shit ton of money and I
Yeah,
fucking love cars and I want to talk about it. Like, that's fucking
it's
sick.
sick. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's like if, I
it's.
mean, we talk about it a lot. It's like if we had a shit ton of money, how would we build out our
Oh.
garage? And this man actually
Oh,
did it.
God. Yeah, dude. Fuck, it's so sick. Yeah, I'm jealous. Yeah, but anyways, everyone should go watch that. I think it's really funny. The last video I thought was hilarious because they're just all arguing. And yeah, I thought it was properly funny. But
Yeah.
speaking of cars, I got a new car.
Let's go. Did you get
Yeah.
the truck?
No. I didn't get
Oh,
the K.
shit.
The K truck is gone to the wind. I don't know what happened with that. I kind of just stopped hitting
Yeah.
up the guy. He stopped giving me updates. But I was doing some more research on it the other day on K trucks, or like a couple weeks ago. And I don't actually think that Colorado allows you to register them, like,
Dang.
legally. So I don't even think I technically could have one. I'm sure there's ways around it, like registering it in, like, say, like a place like Gunnison, because you don't have to actually physically go and like
Right.
get it registered, or like do emissions tests. But anyways, so the K truck is on the back burner. Still want one. I need to figure out how I can like make sure it's like legal and I'm not like driving around in a legal car if I get one. But yeah, Val and I bought a 2010 4Runner trail
Let's
version.
go.
It's actually
Dang.
sick. Yeah, it's sick. I bought it on Cars and Bids, which is like, it was pretty thrilling because it was like a car auction.
Nice.
Yeah, so like I got in like a bidding war with this guy over this car, but I saw it like as soon as, because I basically, for anyone that doesn't know, and we've talked about this a little bit, but Val and I both have like sports cars, which obviously for Colorado is not the most practical. Val's car is significantly more practical than my car is, because I have a BMW M2 and she has a GR Corolla, which is actually like all-wheel drive. Mine is like rear-wheel, two-wheel drive, which is
Yeah.
like unusable in the snow, especially without winter tires, which I would never put winter tires on that car. So anyways, I sold my truck because I never used my truck. because it was too nice and I really only used it to go biking, which didn't seem like a good use of money. So I sold that. Then I bought an M2, but the plan was always to get like a shittier, higher utility car that so basically we have this really shitty $900 Nissan, greatest car I own. Fucking love that thing. But we needed another car, so we didn't have to rely on the nicer cars, which for anyone listening, you should not have four cars for two people. We know
I was gonna
that.
say, you guys have like a whole park. You're gonna take up the whole neighborhood.
Hey. Yeah, anyways, it's sick. It has a 3-inch lift on it. It's got like like body armor all along the bottom of it.
Dang.
It's like a doomsday mobile. But yeah, it has like 90,000 miles on it. It's in like great shape. And I got a really good deal on it, relatively. So yeah, I'm
Jeez.
pumped. I'm pumped about it.
I just pulled up cars and bids. I've never been on this website. This, yeah, there are some good deals.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing I've noticed. I probably shouldn't even say this, or this might go away. But yeah, it seems like on that site that you can find better deals on like less exciting cars, because that's like
Yeah.
it's mostly for people buying like sports cars or like unique sort of
Yeah.
collector cars.
Some of yeah, these a lot of these cards are crazy that are on just their
Yeah.
homepage.
Yeah. Well, my M2 was on there. That's where my M2 was. I didn't buy it from there, but like the dealership who bought my M2 bought it off
Yeah.
Cars and Bids. So
Dang.
yeah. So it's mostly like cars, like, yeah, like sports cars and stuff. So anyways, I've noticed that you can find pretty good deals, but no one go start doing that, because I want that to be a secretive thing. But
No
yeah,
one.
anyways, yeah. But
Dang,
so
what a, that's a crazy turnout. My mom asked me once a week, she's like, you guys didn't talk about the K-Chook last episode. Like, is the K-Chook a thing? And then I just looked before we started, this guy, I mean, we don't have to get into it now, but on our Spotify comments, his name's Kyle as well. He said, as an avid runner and cyclist, I stumbled onto this podcast by accident because I was searching for K car content. I'm pissed that neither of y'all had the K-Chook in the top five garage.
I mean, that's a terrible take. I would never put a K truck in my top five garage. I mean, they're cool cars, but they are just, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of more cars I'd want. It's more of like a gimmick car. Which
Searching
I,
Spotify for K truck content is also kind of a
yeah,
crazy
but hey,
behavior.
dude, Kyle, good name. I hope you keep listening. And the K truck is still in the works. I haven't given up on it. I just need to figure out how I can legally register it. So that's but I
Maybe
saw
you
one,
gotta.
dude, I saw one in the parking lot of Chipotle, so there's clearly a way to do it. I just don't know how. Like, I just need to figure that
There,
out.
yeah, there's got to be a word or like a loophole if you can. I mean, they're like I told you, I tell you all the time that it's. I think there's like three or four in just Flagstaff alone. Like I see those things all the time around here. So there's got to be a way, whether it's there's certainly a loophole somehow, like one way or another. But yeah, it's like, do you actually want to go through that now that and add it to your fifth
Well,
car right now?
then I'd have fucking five cars, dude. My house would be a
That'd
parking lot.
be nuts.
I at this rate, unless I found one that was like a really good deal and I was confident I could get it registered, I probably won't get a K truck until we lose like the Nissan or the 4Runner. So yeah.
Dang.
Anyways, so we got a new whip. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's sick. It's got like some big ass tires on it. You'll like it. I think
Nice.
you'll
I'm
like it.
excited to see it.
Yeah.
I think
Anyways.
that's a pretty good decision because yeah, it's like I was just thinking because since it's been snowing in Boulder, it seems like how are you guys getting over? I guess the Nissan, but at
Well,
some
yeah.
point you gotta have something better. Like if you want to go in the mountains or like I don't know, driving anywhere cool in Colorado is like you should
Yeah.
definitely. I feel like most people should have something that they can at least like rip off road on or do something like go camping. If
Well,
even if you're not into camping, there's just like so much cool shit in Colorado to do. Like biking, like you just get cooler stuff out of it.
yeah, I mean, the K truck actually around town would be super convenient. The problem is we still wouldn't have like a high utility car that can go anywhere.
Right.
But like a Toyota with 90,000 miles on it, like I can probably drive that thing till it has 300,000 miles on it, but I wanted something that wasn't super nice. Like, that was my biggest qualm with my truck. You know, it's like, oh, you're taking the bikes out of the bed and you fucking hit your handlebar on like the paint and you're like, fuck. Like I don't want to worry about that. So, it's got, it's a 14-year-old car. It's got some, just like normal use. So it's not in like it's in great shape, but it's not like in perfect condition. So,
Got some character. There's some character in it. It's
So
got a
like if someone
personality.
like yeah, dude, there's actually like a dent on the like driver's door, and the owner of the previous was like, yeah, so some biker just full gas just ran into the door when it was parked. And so there's just a yeah, but I mean it's fine. It's not like a huge dent, but I'm like, yeah, great. I don't really want a car that's perfect because having nice cars is stressful. And I don't want to worry about like door dings or whatever on the cars that I'm going to be using most of the time. So yeah, I'm stoked. It's totally different. Going from that to the M2 is like could not be more
Oh,
different.
yeah, I bet that makes the M2 even more fun.
Oh dude, it does. Because the 4Runner is literally slow as dog shit. I mean, those cars are slow as fuck. Like slow as shit.
It's a V6, right? The engine is like
Yeah.
bulletproof, but it's just like, yeah, there's no real, I mean, there's no real pickup to it. It's just
No,
a
no.
V6 that just cranks.
Dude, it has a snorkel on it. It has like an off-road snorkel on it. He put a
That's crazy.
aftermarket exhaust. It's not like over the top. It's not like super loud, but it's got a nice tone to it. And then it's got a 3-inch lift kit, so it's hot. It's pretty high off the ground. But
Dang.
yeah, it's super capable and like everything's protected. So you can totally take it off-roading, which I mean, I
Nice.
don't really plan on doing, but
But
hey,
you can.
but I fucking could, okay?
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but it's actually been yeah, it's honestly a really sick truck. So yeah, I'm pumped on it. And I got it for a good deal. I got it for like 18 grand,
Damn.
which if you look at similar 4Runners with that many miles, they're way more expensive. So
Yeah.
yeah,
You...
the guy even told me, he's like, yeah, I thought I was gonna get more for it. But
Yeah, I
that's a
feel like
problem.
cars and bids are risky.
Well, the thing is like I don't know why the guy wouldn't sell it on like Facebook Marketplace because he'd definitely get more money. But on an auction website, once you list your car, you're like locked in. Like you have to sell it for whatever it goes for. If it basically, for anyone who doesn't know, the way auctions work on cars is that you can either put a car up on for auction with a reserve. So basically a reserve is a minimum amount of money that the car has to be bid to for the owner can choose. If it doesn't hit the reserve, the owner can choose not to sell it. If it hits the reserve though, you have to sell it for whatever the auction ends at. Or you could list your car as no reserve, which then it just sells. Like if no one bid on it and someone bid $5, technically they would have to sell it. But obviously that typically doesn't happen. So, yeah, but so the reserve was 18 grand, and I got it for 18,250.
Hey, yeah, this is
Yeah.
crazy. I mean, there's a third gen 2017 Tacoma on here that sold in January, but it has 64,000 and it sold for 28K, which is like pretty low for something like a third
Yeah.
gen Tacoma with low miles.
Yeah, I bid on a Tacoma, and I would have gotten it probably, but I had to get on a work call and I couldn't like get a better bid in. But yeah, dude, it was like a super nice Tacoma. It was like a 2015 or something, and it had like 73,000 miles on it. Dude, it sold for like 20 grand.
Yeah, it's crazy that they list like what it sold for too. So if you're a seller and you just got fucked and it's just like just documented evidence, like man, there's a TRD Pro that sold for 60K. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, the downside of it, right, is that I mean, I guess I could have hit this guy up and like asked him if I could drive down to Denver and test drive it. But like if you're buying a car out of state, you're kind of like blind sending, which is maybe not always the most intelligent, but this car, I just sent it to you. I sent you the one I bought. But yeah, I mean this one was inspected, so like it was inspected, and the pre-purchase inspection said it was in really good shape. So, Felt pretty confident about it. So far, so good. We'll see. I guess it's still early days.
Great.
It could turn out to be a
That's
shit box. But
that's huge, man. That's sick.
yeah, it's cool. I'm excited about it. Val's excited about it too. So yep,
Nice.
now we have another car. Our house is slowly like our neighbor literally was
Added
like
to the collection.
our neighbor literally came up to us and was like, "Did you guys buy another car?" And I was like, "No." But it was like
No.
sitting in. Yeah, we're like good friends with them, but they're like, "Man, you guys are gonna have four cars now, huh?" And I was like trying to figure out if they were like stoked about it or not. I was like,
They can't
"Yep."
even park outside of their own front yard. Like, I come over once, I take up the last spot, and they just can't even park outside of their house in front.
No, we can park all the cars in front of the house. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, if we got any more, it would really start to be problematic.
Yeah.
So we're kind of maxing out our available space. But anyways, all right, on to other news. Something we both talked about before we started to record was that Grand Slam we can now be degens about.
Oh yeah, he. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Actually, Elise told me about that, which is nuts because I feel like,
And Val told me about it too. Yeah. I didn't. I think I
yeah.
saw. I think Sidious Mag. Shout out Sidious Mag for covering the news. I gotta stop bringing that up. Yeah, I think they actually posted about it, about
Yeah,
how
that's crazy.
they got a betting partner. So basically, what we're talking about is Grand Slam Track signed on with a sports betting partner for their series. So if you want a sports bet on Grand Slam, you can, which I think is fucking great because
Yeah.
that will only help grow like the sport. Getting people to bet on
Yeah.
something is great. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I think
Yeah,
it's
I think it's
awesome.
really cool. I'm interested to see how it's going to turn out, and it's like I'm going to really try to resist betting because I announced my departure from DraftKings, but this is also not DraftKings, so I technically am in the clear. But yeah, it's crazy because it's like it's, I mean, even if you're just, to me, it's like I was talking to when it came out, I was talking to a photographer, and he's like contracted by Grand Slam. And he's like, yeah, I go out to like I they pay me, Grand Slam pays me to go like film workout Wednesdays with everyone. He's like, so I would be fucking stupid to not put all my money on like someone who I know is super fit because I pay like I film their workout Wednesday. He's like, I'm gonna make bank off of this. It's like it's kind of crazy because it's like, yeah, you can for someone like that, like there's a lot of people, most people aren't filming every participant's workout Wednesdays or whatever, but it's like if you even film one workout Wednesday or like have a good idea of someone's in good shape, it's like that's kind of borderline insider trading. It's like he's like, I
No.
don't like crazy.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I was like, 'cause I was gonna make a joke. I was like, I'm gonna hit up Elise and ask her like what she's thinking. How are you feeling? Like, what are your thoughts before the race? You feeling confident? Like, yeah, like
Yeah.
if you had to put, I don't know, if you had to put a guess on it, like what place would you finish?
Yeah.
Like,
What are,
no.
yeah, are we thinking top five, top eight? I don't know. What are we thinking here? Yeah. I feel like it's kind of in like alluding to they're gonna have, I think it would be really cool if like the Grand Slam people had specific pacers, and I've said this a couple of times. I don't know if I'm here yet, but if it was like they specifically had pacers that went slower and then some weekends had pacers that went faster. So like a women's 5K is like 1 week it was paced for like 15 flat pace through 3K, and then 1 week it was paced for like 16 flat through 3K. And like the rule was, if you go around the pacer before the pacer steps off, you're not eligible for prize money. I think that would be sick because otherwise, it's like, at what point do they can like other people like challengers or whatever just try to win one race and like take it from the front? And like that's not really that fun. That's the whole point of Grand Slam in my opinion. But I think it'd be really cool and not out of the question for them to be like, yeah, this race we're gonna pace it specifically slow through three quarters of it, and then you can just like actually race. And then say in LA or something, it's just like we're gonna pace it for world records, and then you can like actually bet on that. I think that would make the betting even more interesting. Like if you didn't know and you're like, yeah, I know whatever person is in really good shape because they won the last Grand Slam, but then you find out like the night before is like, oh shit, it's going to be paced really slow, and that person doesn't have a really good kick, so I'm going to lose my bet now. Like that would be really cool.
I mean, the other thing that I'll be interested in too is, and I think you saw this kind of like old school UFC where it was actually easier to make money like sports betting because like the casinos that were running the sports betting may not have been as knowledgeable about the sport, or like the fighters could be similar with Grand Slam where it's like if you like kind of like know your shit, you might be like, you can place some like pretty smart bets that it'll be what will be really interesting is the depth of which the betting that you can do on the races. Like, can you bet on like the order, like the times? Like, hopefully it's not just like really basic, like, oh,
All right,
who's gonna,
winner.
right? Like that,
I think that's what the
because
Olympics is. And I think that's what, like, and I know
I think we were
world
looking at that.
indoors.
I think we were looking at that for the Olympics, and it was like super lame
I know
for
most of the
track.
time, generally speaking, that those types of services edge, like, they have so much ridiculous, like, favoritism amongst Europeans. And so I know, like, worlds, I think in my first or second year, I lived in Boulder, world indoors when Jordi Beamish, I think he was second in the 3K or something. I don't know,
Didn't
something
he
like that.
win one
But
year?
maybe it was the year he won. He placed really, really well. And because he was like from New Zealand, like whoever the odds makers were just like, oh, there's no way this guy's gonna actually win. And Carlos Villarreal put like $100 on him and he cashed out for like 10 grand. It was absurd, but
Jesus.
it was wild.
That's
But yeah, it's like
crazy.
it's as long as the odds makers are pretty unknowledgeable, it's like, yeah, you look at someone like Jordan from New Zealand, it's like, oh, there's no way someone from New Zealand is going to win. But it's like, actually, Jordan's really good. He's actually pretty American, but he runs for New Zealand. It's like sometimes they don't know their shit, and it could be really interesting. But yeah, I think that's going to be sick.
Well, dude, if there was a sport that odds makers were going to be super knowledgeable about it, running would be the sport that would be like the best candidate. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Yeah, hopefully whatever like app it is like easy to use. Because I'll definitely be taking a look. I'll be interested. I mean, it'll definitely make it more fun for sure, at least for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So. When is the first one? Isn't it like in 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
3 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah. So 2 weeks is the 10, which is in California, and then yeah, the Jamaica one is like the first weekend of April. So like April 4th or something, 4th to 6th, I think, is the first one in Jamaica.
Bro. Holy shit. We are so close to just like the year just going into overdrive. You know what I mean? Like, everything's about to start like kind of happening. There's going to be like constantly like things in the very near future coming up
Yeah,
for
I know. For a while.
crazy. So the 10 is coming up. That's in 2 weeks, 1 week.
Two
Okay.
weeks.
Oh,
Yeah.
so Elise is racing that and then a week later going down to Jamaica. Okay. Nice. How's she she excited for, I would assume she's excited for everything. Is she
Yeah,
like,
she's stoked. It's gonna be, I mean, it's gonna be crazy because it's like no one really knows what the or sorry, no one knows what Grand Slam is gonna be like. So I think that's
yeah.
helping, but it's also just really trying to focus on like, okay, I have to run the 10, and then straight from the 10 is when we come back to Boulder. And so it's just like those 3 days will be, or like, yeah, she'll be in Boulder for 3 days, and it's just like this rest, like sleep nonstop, and just like, and then get on the plane and then go from Denver to Jamaica and then race a 3 and a 5K. And so yeah, that span of like 10 days is going to be pretty crazy. But yeah, it's like really exciting. It's just like focusing on the perspective of like you're getting like a lot of the focus is on the first race, and then the first Grand Slam, there's a reason there's four of them. But it's also like you obviously never want to just be like not in good shape and not competing. So yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy, but it's going to be a lot to handle.
Yeah. Damn, so you're also back in Boulder in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks, the 29th or Sunday. So yeah, 2 weeks from today.
Let's go. Can't wait to give you a big wet kiss.
2 weeks from today. It's going to be crazy.
Oh my God, in-person podcasts are going to be back.
It's going to be wild. What are
Damn.
we going to do?
Get ripped? I don't know. I mean, I would. Wait, when's Boston? Middle of April?
Yeah, so Boston's 5 weeks from tomorrow, so I won't be getting ripped until after that. But
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So, oh, okay, so it's the 3rd week of April.
yeah, the 21st.
Okay, so you have five. Okay, nice. And then do you have any other plans after Boston yet? I know that's like probably not a focus, but are you just gonna like kind of chill until like fall?
We're racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm no plans. I mean, I'll probably go out to Portland and pace the 5 and the 10 just because that was
A
for
Portland
Portland
Track
Track
Fest.
Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a blast. And then I don't know if like there's a sound meet or something that they want me to come out and pace. They asked me to pace the 10 too, and I told them no. But yeah, I mean, just other than that, for my own racing, no, I don't have anything. It's gonna be fat chilling, going to Grand Slam, and then yeah, I mean maybe free and USA or whatever, but no, I don't have anything on the radar really. So that's what's
Yeah.
nice about the marathon is like you race maybe twice a year, and it's like you really get to chill after your marathon. So yeah, I don't have
Yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Are you you're not going to Jamaica though for the first slam, are you?
No, I won't be in Jamaica, but dude, this is crazy. I don't know. I found this out like 2 weeks ago. The order of Grand Slams, Jamaica, Miami, Philadelphia, LA. The second one in Miami is the same weekend as the Miami Grand Prix.
Oh, lock the me the fuck in. Let's
Dude,
go.
how fucking crazy
Wait,
is that?
when is what week is that? Like,
I
do you
think
know
it's
what
like
week?
the last week of April or the first week of May. It's like
Would you
all.
go? Would you go to the Miami GP?
I think, oh yeah, I would go to the GP for sure.
I mean, I'll go down there just for that and go
That
to
would be
the
sick.
and Grand Slam. Well, I'll look into it. That sounds
Yeah,
fucking fun. Yeah, that would be fucking sick. Val will probably chop my nuts off if I go to a Formula One race without her. But oh fuck, I didn't even put that on my list of things to talk about. Formula One is back, baby. I'm so fucking hyped. Okay. Anyone that doesn't know, obviously Chuck and I are into cars. I'm more into Formula One. Did you watch any of the Formula One stuff this week?
no, I haven't. But today I convinced Elise to start watching Drive to Survive from season one. And
That's what I'm
so
talking
we'll
about.
be
Get
back in
that.
it.
That's what I'm talking about. Get that drug going.
Yeah,
Dude, you couldn't have started better. First race was fucking incredible. Did you see the results? I don't want to like ruin it for you.
no, don't ruin it. I was gonna watch it after this, so don't ruin it.
Fucking great race. Suffice to say, I'm fucking hyped about the year for Formula One. God damn it, I wish I could talk about it. But yeah,
Jeez,
I
we'll have
stayed
to
up to
revisit.
watch the race live. Oh, it was only at like 10 p.m. our time last night. So, but yeah, it's good to have Formula One back. It's great. I don't know. It's always awesome just to have like sports on. I feel like the last, since the Super Bowl, I really hasn't been. I mean, I guess you could watch like in-season basketball, but that shit sucks.
Yeah, it's tough to watch
So.
sometimes.
Yeah. So, and the UFC too. But yeah. Anyways, I'm psyched for Formula One. Anyone who hasn't or isn't into Formula One and needs a Netflix show to get you into it, Drive to Survive is actually a great show and it'll get you probably interested in the new sport. So
Sure. Yeah.
yeah, but yeah, anyways, Formula One, I'm hyped. We can talk more about it once you watch the race, but I think this year is going to be like super super competitive and I hope that it will be not just like straight domination from like one team. That's what it's looking
Yeah.
like, but I'm rooting for Red Bull, my team.
Nice.
That is my team. And I'm not a bandwagon person, I have to say. I'm not a bandwagon person. Everyone, if anyone knows anything about Red Bull, they've been dominant the last few years. But I started rooting for Red Bull when they were the underdog to Mercedes. So it's a defendable position.
When they were second.
Well, okay. The reality is the reason I started rooting for Red Bull is because Max Verstappen was the only person that could beat Lewis Hamilton back in like 2020 and 2019 when no one else was competitive. So you just inevitably started rooting for Max because you just wanted someone else besides Lewis to win.
Yeah, so you're not a bandwagon, but you just started rooting for the second place team instead
I
of
don't
the
want to
third place
hear. I
team.
don't want to hear shit from you, okay? This totally makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of a bandwagon, but it's I don't know, like what are you gonna be? Like a Kick Sauber fan? No,
Yeah,
that's
I have
not a
two
thing.
AlphaTauri shirts and they went under, so.
Yeah, you could be a Racing Bulls fan, which would be underwhelming. Yeah, I mean, you're basically a bandwagon fan because most people are fans of either four teams: Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, which is like the greatest, biggest bandwagon of all time, probably in any sport possible, and then
Fair.
McLaren. Yeah, so which I think here's my hot take. This is my F1 hot take. We also didn't do a bro hear me out, so we definitely need to at least do that. My hot take is that I think that Oscar Piastri, which is McLaren's second driver, will do better than Lando this year. I think Lando's a little bit of a pussy, so I don't think he's got the stones to compete with Max, and I think Oscar's got that dog in him, so we'll see. We'll see. But first race might have said otherwise, but I'm sticking with that. So, anyways, yeah.
Yeah, we could rip a bro here because I have 10 minutes on this. You want to do listener questions, or we could do bro, hear me out, and then
We could do bro, hear me out,
revisit.
then listener questions. Or wait, what do you want to revisit? Oh, the questions?
Unless they're new questions. I mean, yeah, it's totally up to
Yeah,
you.
I have one. I
Okay.
have a couple, I think, actually. Do you have any?
No.
Don't you need to crash out to get more people to comment?
Yeah, I guess people just don't I mean, aside from that Spotify comment, and then this could be a story for next week, but a valid Spotify comment this week was work life running balance related comment. Ask Kyle about the cookie pouch, but a head nod of
That
no.
no, cookie pouch. Okay. I'll talk about that really quick. So when I got super into work, like right after I graduated, I was still like running with Val, but I was not like consistent with any sort of like working out, and I was working a ton. So didn't have the best work-life balance and didn't have like a schedule around like consistently getting in a run or like going to the gym or something. And yeah, one day Val came up to me like after I got out of the shower, I was like walking around in shorts, and she's like, she said it in like, like a very nice Val way. She's like, "Kyle, you kind of have a cookie pouch," which she was basically calling me fat. Like, and so yeah, I got super insecure and got rid of that pretty quick, and it's never come back. So yeah, but moral of the story is don't get so into work and deprioritize other parts of your life that you start getting unhealthy,
That's goals, though.
which is what kind of what happened to me. So not kind of, I
Yeah.
mean it's exactly what happened to me. So
But at least she
I didn't
called
get
you
like
out.
fat. I didn't get like fat. I just like, you guys start like a little bit
You're
of belly
storing
fat.
something. You're storing some for
Yeah,
winter.
a little war extra warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like I don't know, just like the way she said it though, it was like so nice, but she still said it, and I was like, oh fuck my life.
I've always wondered, like, if I actually, like, if I started, I thought about this the other day, like, how long could I not run and then just eat whatever I want until, like, I've thought about doing it after Boston, actually, but I don't think I could, but, like,
Dude, that's kind of what happened basically, right? Because
yeah.
that was well, I guess that was into like, yeah, that was like sometime in 2020. But basically it was like, you stay fit, like relatively pretty fit for a while,
Yeah.
right?
I mean, if you're working out, I mean, it's not the best thing, but if you're working out a shit ton and like really working out and like lifting and running and doing all that shit, and then you stop, but you continue eating, your body just stores that because it's like, oh, I finally am not sore. And I'm just like waiting for the next thing. Is like, I think that's how people start to gain weight. But yeah, there was one break I took at CU. I gained 8 pounds in 7 days. And it was like, I wonder how long it would take for people around me to be like, You're kind of packing it on, big dog. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it is it can happen quick. It can definitely happen quick. But the other thing is, you can like, as long as you don't like let yourself go, like
Yeah.
it wasn't to the like I I definitely could see it, but you're kind of like, it's like one of those things where like, I don't even know if like other people can notice that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But then Val said something and I was like, fuck my life. I need to change this shit around because that's not a good look. But yeah, I mean, you can get back into like, or, you know, like not have like, you know, whatever, like belly fat, like pretty quickly, as long as you don't get like really, really out of shape, you know? So, but yeah, that was yeah, there was a lot of learning in my early days of my career of like things I don't ever want to do again. That was definitely one of them where I just was like super, yeah, I think just general inconsistency in life of things you like to do is bad. You know, like going and working out every day is like really like makes you feel really good. And I definitely was too focused on work that I allowed myself to like forget about like I really, you know, like I really enjoy that like level of consistency. So yeah, but it also speaks to if you're not like consistent, like I was still working out. It wasn't like I was doing nothing. But if you're not consistent with what you're doing, your body can change pretty quickly, like if you're not giving it like some sort of consistent stimulus. So anyways, yeah, that's funny that he said that. All right, I do have I think I have two quick listener comments. Okay, so this is from Brandon again, one of our most consistent listeners. Hold on one sec.
Again, he
Okay.
doesn't know how to read.
No, sorry. I was just trying to make sure we went over this last question. Okay, so he actually commented on the Sidious Mag thing we talked about on the last pod. Not to bring that up, but he said, got some insider baseball on Sidious Mag, listened to Let's Run do a live reaction to US Indoors. They were made aware of the Shelby thing. Robert, co-founder, texted Chris Chavez on the spot. Chavez gave some lame excuse and replied with, here's a link to the results. When they pressed him on it more, he said maybe our intern who did that graphic had trouble with the website and went on to
Ooh.
say sounds like the intern who was responsible for that had trouble with his stream. So how'd you know who was first and third?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That
Wild
makes zero
stuff.
sense.
Yeah, doesn't make sense. I think that is a great case of having bias in something, getting caught, and then not just like owning it.
Yeah, that's a horrible excuse.
Yeah, I
The
mean,
intern had trouble with the results, but the results just didn't populate the second place finisher.
yeah, I mean, we'll see. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, hopefully, I'm sure they got enough. It seems like it. I mean, I know we weren't the only people that noticed it clearly. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle stuff going forward in the future. I mean, Worlds is coming up in what? Soon, right?
Yeah, 10 days, I'm pretty sure. Shelby left today for China, so. Yeah, I think she races in 10 days, so maybe it starts next weekend.
Well, we'll probably know pretty soon how that's covered. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Anyways, he said, here's a good question for everyone, Val and Elise included. I don't think we're gonna go get Val and Elise, but
I don't think they're gonna be answering, but that's all right.
all right, he said, you can use one shoe for everything. What do you pick? Doesn't have to be current. Shout out some of those OG Vomeros. OG Vomeros did
Oh,
kind of fucking rip.
wow, that's crazy. My bro Hear Me Out was going to be the Vomero 18 is potentially the greatest shoe ever.
Is that the new one? Okay, I haven't tried that one yet.
It's also the one, if you go comment on Elisa's Instagram, she's giving away a pair. I would recommend it.
Oh my God. Subtle plug, subtle plug.
Subtle plug, yeah.
Do you remember that shoe that we ran in a bunch in college? I think I put you onto that one. What was it? It's a
Like the
Flyknit
shoe?
React. Flyknit React, I
Oh
think.
yeah.
Remember those? You ran in those, didn't you?
There's a couple of different versions of it.
I started running in those because
What
I
color were they?
remember like the white OG color that was like that sick white colorway. It was like white, blue, and red, I think, or something.
No.
But it was like that Flyknit upper, and it kind of had like no like heel cup basically. I mean, it had a heel cup, but there was like
Was it
no.
the Flyknit Racer?
No, it wasn't the Racer. I'm pretty sure it was the Nike Flyknit React. Hold on, I can look it up. But that shoe,
Interesting.
was fucking awesome for me. It like basically, maybe it was like the Flyknit
Oh,
React
the yeah,
Infinity.
the first iteration of the Infinity Lens.
Let's
That was
see.
like supposed to
Oh
you're never supposed to be able to get
React,
hurt.
React Infinity. Yep. Yeah, these
Yeah,
are
they
the
pushed the
ones.
marketing of like the you it's impossible to get hurt in these shoes.
What? Really?
Yeah, I did run in those. Yeah, that was
Okay.
like because that was when they first came out with the React Foam. I was like, we did all this research that you can't get hurt in these shoes, and like people still got hurt in them because it's
Yeah,
like
of course.
impossible.
Yeah, of course you get hurt. But yeah, that
But
those shoes
yeah.
were awesome. Those were my favorite shoes and probably my favorite running shoes ever. I had
That was
like
like one of the
pair.
first pairs of running shoes that I thought were also sick for just lifestyle.
Yeah, they looked cool too. Yeah, they
Yeah.
looked sick. Yeah, that was one of those things where I think I first bought a pair in college because the launch colorway was super cool. It was like this white colorway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but they ended up being such good running shoes. I like ran in them and trashed the shoes. So yeah, but that's probably my all-time favorite shoe.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it looked good. It was great for running, and I mean, obviously, running shoes you can kind of do anything in. So, that would be for
Yeah.
me. But you say
That's a
the
good question.
Vomeros?
I think about that a lot. I think if I had the Vomero 18s are sweet. Like I've worn them, and I normally have, I think I have 4 pairs of trainers right now. I've worn the Vomero 18s every day since I got them, and I got them 10 days ago, which is crazy for me. I normally switch it up a lot better, but it's like the Vomero 18s are really soft. They're nice for recovery. I did a tune-up workout before I was supposed to leave for New York in them, which I was surprised at how responsive they were. They look really clean, both on foot and just like when other people are wearing them. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how they break down or like how quickly they break down because that's the only thing that's holding me back from saying they're my favorite shoe ever. But I would also say, I never had a pair of the original Pegasus Turbos, but everyone on Western loved those things. Like I think those are supposed to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I feel like you and me were two people that never got those.
Yeah, I just don't think I could afford them. I think they're
Yeah, they were
like,
like $200 or
yeah, and
something.
so I think the shoe I did the most in was like probably a Pegasus 33 or something. But yeah, right now if I had to answer, I would say probably the Vomero, either the Vomero 12, those things are sweet, and then the Vomero 18 are also very nice. Those both, for me, it's like I give a lot of credit if the shoe looks really good. The Vomero 12 had that Flyknit upper, and there was some sick colorways. I have a pair at home in Maryland now. And then the Vomero 18 is just like the performance aspect of it is really good. And for a shoe that I've worn every day for 10 days straight, it also looks pretty good. So that would be my
Yeah,
answer.
I think the Vomero 10 was also one of my favorite shoes. It had that like sick the launch colorway was like all black with like blue and yellow. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah,
I had a couple pairs of those, but those were sick too. But yeah, I mean, shout out Nike. We're not biased at all.
yeah.
We didn't even mention another brand, dude. I always see these like. Not always. I sometimes see these like TikToks or like reels of people talking about like the best running shoe brands, and then like they won't include
Yeah.
Nike, and I'm like, are you fucking high? Like they're like talking about like Brooks shoes are
Yeah.
better than Nike. I'm like, clearly you guys don't have
Yeah.
ball knowledge at all.
There's definitely some good, like I have a lot of other pairs of shoes, but for like all around, if I had to have one pair of shoes for everything from like long runs to workouts to like easy runs, Nike, I just feel like has that on lock versus like ASICS. Like I have some ASICS that I like a lot, but it's like I can't run my long runs in them, where I've had like Brooks, and especially when I worked at the running store, like I would try literally everything, but it's like all of these brands have specific shoes for specific purposes versus like Nikes, you can just get a pair of pegs and like I feel like you can rip pretty much everything in them.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, like Nike, I mean, the whole reason why like Nike was so far ahead of the curve with when it came to like, the Alpha Fly and
Yeah.
whatever, or the Vapor Fly when it originally came out, was because they have so much more money for research and development. So like I genuinely
Yeah.
think that they can genuinely make better shoes because they have so much so much resources at
Yeah.
their disposal. So anyways, yeah, shout out Nike. We're biased though. I've been running in like nothing but Nikes basically forever. So okay, we you have time for like one or two more about, but we didn't go over Val's ones.
Yeah, we could do one or two more.
All right. What advice would you give to a high school athlete who wants to run in college? Kind of, we should have brought this up earlier, but when we were talking about it
Yeah.
earlier.
Is this
But
Val's question?
this is Val's question, yeah.
Nice. I mean, it's also hard because we were talking about that you might have to be really, really good to get in the NCAA in general if it keeps up.
Let's just assume that it's like it's always been, because
Yeah.
at the end of
I
the
would
day, we don't
say,
know how it's going to net out.
yeah, for me, and it's different for everyone, I would say run as little as you can to still be productive and like getting the results. Because I think, I mean, I could always handle a lot of mileage, and in high school I was like, thankfully my coach knew I could handle a lot of mileage, but he capped me at like, I don't know, 55 miles a week or whatever it was, and he knew. He's like, do you want to be good right now, like, or do you want to be good in college? And I was just like, I want to be good in college because that's what's going to pay the bills at some point. And so yeah, I think just like being the least amount of a runner as you can while also finding success is like really important for high schoolers. Because it's like, I mean, when you're 16 or 17 or 14, whatever, like people are getting into it so much younger. And like we were saying last time, there's so much information available on Instagram. It's just like the less of a runner you are, the longer your career will be, I feel, or like
Yeah.
longer it could be.
I would imagine that a lot of high school runners nowadays have like so much information at their fingertips that it's probably hard not to get caught up in stuff like different training
Yeah.
methods or like mileage and stuff, but I would agree. I think such an important element of just like high school running and just like any like development with sports is just like keeping it fun, because and it's I know that sounds corny, but at the end of the day, like you shouldn't do things unless you like really enjoy them. And I think especially when you're that young, like to your point of, you know, if you're like, oh, I gotta run 70 miles this week or whatever, like if that's not gonna be fun for you, which it, honestly it probably fucking isn't
No
for
way.
yeah, like in high school. So I think just really trying to keep it fun. And I think the other thing too that I would say is, and this is a little bit more general, but if you keep it fun and you really like running, when you make that transition to college, it's going to be a lot more serious. And I think also, like, we experience this a lot too. Like, when you get to college, don't try to be, you know, whether you're a girl or a guy, like, don't try to be like the big dog. Like, you're running with a lot of people, and those years in college that they've had above you, they've learned a lot. So, like, just don't go like two-step people or, you know, just like listen to them. Like, I mean, don't like, you know, get like hazed or whatever, you know, try to just be like a normal kid on the team. But I think, yeah, just try to like learn like from people. I wish I would have done that a little bit more. You know, like there's so many people that we could have. I think you did a really good job of that because you kind of befriended a lot of the older guys on the team. And, you know, we made a lot of dumb mistakes when we were younger, and I think you made less, and that's why you got so good when you were younger too. So there's a lot of knowledge, even on like a whether the program's the best in the country or, you know, not very good. There's people that have been running longer than you and probably have stuff that you can learn from. And you want to also not like not come in and like rub elbows with people. So yeah, I would say just like keep it fun, and then like if you know you love running, like definitely try to run in college. And yeah, just learn and try to keep it fun, because at the end of the day, like sounds corny, but that's what it's all about. And then the other thing I would say, because this is my experience, don't feel like when you go to college you have to have it all figured out, just in general. Like when I mean, and I feel like you probably feel the same way, like I still feel like I could find something that I like to do and maybe my career changes, you know, or something. I think there's probably too much pressure on kids to like, you know, be like, oh, I want to be like a, sports med or like whatever, or an engineer. Like even like, Val went to college and she was an engineer and she fucking hated it. So I don't know. Take your time, like take your like mandatory like credit classes and try to figure out what you want to do. But most colleges you don't have to declare until like some of them it's like 2 years, and I think some might be a year, but yeah, I don't know. Like just yeah, focus on, I don't know, focus on like doing stuff that you like to do. If you like to run, go to college and run, and just slowly like figure one thing out at a time, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree.
Anyways, all right, last question, a little bit more of a light one. She said, why do boys like to sports bet?
Dang, I just got asked to start dinner. Why do
All
boys like
right.
to sports bet?
Kind of a hard one. I don't know. Just makes things more entertaining.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's just boys or girls. I think girls just like don't watch sports as much. I think if there's like
Val
sports betting
really
on like
doesn't like betting. Like whenever I talk about betting, she's like, why are you doing
I just think it's because she hasn't won. If she got involved, if she won one bet that she was just
that?
like if the I think the F1 odds are like also a little fucked because it's like
There's
very
two.
hard to
It's
profit off of that.
yeah, it's super hard to
But
profit off of it.
if she picked like or if she had a parlay, I don't think they have very many parlays for F1 yet, but if she picked a parlay and she built it out and she was like totally and it was like this is my parlay, this is my money and a cash. It wouldn't just be a boy thing. I think she would be into it. So it's like sales or like being competitive.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it just adds a layer. It gives you, it can make. I think one of the parts I like most about sports betting is if you, whether or not you're into something, it gives you something to care about for like something that you're watching. And then if you are already invested, it just like makes it even better, from that perspective. And so anyways, I think anyone can be into it. I agree. It's not just boys, but there's probably more boys, men that are generally
And we're
interested
men,
in,
yeah, I was gonna say
yeah.
we're men.
Yeah, we're fucking yeah. Anyways, but yeah, it's probably a little bit more predominantly men than it is women, but there's definitely women that sports bet. The last thing I was gonna say is on the last UFC 313, your boy
Oh yeah, you cashed.
did pretty good. I hit
Oh.
three out of the four of my bets. I think I came out like $50 up on the night. So
Oh, huge.
maybe you should get back on DraftKings, Jack.
I'm thinking about it. I thought about it yesterday. I had some withdrawals yesterday, but I didn't even open the app, so
Dude,
I
we got
talked
March
through it.
Madness coming up. That's like peak.
I know that's what got me in it. I was like, oh
That's like
shit.
peak. Yeah, last year I fucking lost a sh not a shit ton of money, but I did not do well on March Madness. All right, cool. Well, I don't have anything else. Do you have a bro hear me out to close it? Or you yours was gonna be the but
Yeah,
that's not
mine
even a hot
was
take. That's not even a hot take.
no. I mean, it's a hot take for me, but yeah, I don't have any yet.
What all right, last thing. What day are you gonna be back specifically from Flagstaff?
2 weeks from today, it's Sunday the
A week
30th.
from today?
2 weeks.
Oh fuck, I thought you said a week. I was about to get
Not
really
2 weeks.
excited.
The 30th, the Sunday after the 10th.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, I'm excited to see you. That's my hot take. Bro, hear me out. Can't wait till you're home.
Let's go.
We gotta get more consistent on the hot takes with the bro
We
hear me
gotta
out. So
do.
that's probably something we've been lacking on a little bit. We'll work on that for next one. You guys should send us in more questions. If you made it this far, you should definitely send us in some questions because you're clearly a
Yeah.
dedicated listener because
Involved.
they're bouncing all over the place. But yeah, I feel like the podcasts are just gonna get better because kind of like we were saying, the year's kind of about to like from a running perspective, like really start to get rolling here.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be cool. So I'm excited. It's gonna be fun. I'm not gonna be competing in anything, but I will be watching. So
You'll be competing in spirit.
I'll be rooting for all of my homies. All
Yes.
right. Well, you got anything to close it out
Okay, I
with,
gotta go
Chuck?
cook dinner. I gotta cook dinner.
Charlie's gotta
Don't
go
hear me
cook
out.
dinner.
I
He's
gotta cook dinner.
being summoned to the kitchen like a good bitch.
Oh, wow.
Kidding, kidding, kidding. All right, love you, Chuck. Love you, everybody. Send us in some questions. Episode 10. What the
Double
fuck is
digits.
up?
See you
Yeah.
guys never again.
No, well, maybe. We'll see you guys again, hopefully soon. All right, see you guys. Thanks.